So she had to come around the desk, and now when she came around the desk, I'm sitting on a couch next to the desk. And it just so happened, where I'm sitting and where she started to lean over the desk, I'm in the line of fire. And she let one loose.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. We're Southern Storytellers. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm John Fitch, but you can call me Cornbread.
And I'm Ryan.
And I haven't eaten lunch yet. And now I realize that.
And that just right off the bat. It's gonna ruin cornbread it. Came to town.
A big old pound cornbread show would be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with whatever you want in it.
I was going to say, let's not limit it to anything.
Oh, there you go.
I like honey on it.
Butter. Chow.
Chili.
Man, chili. All right, we got to quit. Okay. Today, here's what's in store. We've got storytelling as usual coming from Texas. Got some Texas stories. Excited to hear about those. And I want to inform you guys a little more about our live storytelling. So there's been some questions about, you know, what, when, where. So we're going to spend just a few moments later on in the episode about telling a little bit about the live storytelling. And then lastly, and I'm really excited about this, we're going to the Book of Judges again today to one of my favorite stories about Samson. He was a hero of mine, you know, as a kid. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about a moment where Samson wasn't necessarily heroic, and how you can apply what he failed to do to your life and hopefully not endure the same consequences. So that's going to be the show today. Let's get started. Tell me a story.
One time at church, what really put it on the map, guys, is the old San Francisco tree. Getting ready for church, eating meeting. I guess it was like once a month pay being a teacher. He was a coach. The old cupboard was bare, and he found Rice-A-Roni in the cupboard. Mm-hmm. And had some coon, baked the coon. We called it Raccoon-A-Roni. And fellas, it's pretty darn good. Mm. Raccoon-A-Roni, invented right there in Mount Pleasant, Texas.
It probably was Brother invented Van. And died.
Brother Van. All the same time.
And I'll tell
you, country.
I just got married about a year and a half ago, and we had wedding showers and everything, and so my wife, her family's from Birmingham.
How long ago?
About a year and a half ago. Okay. So we were having, it's about summer of 24.
He's still in the honeymoon stage.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were having a wedding shower at my parents' house in East Texas. In-laws from Birmingham, they come out. And so we asked everyone to bring their favorite recipes. You know, if we can build recipe cards and stuff, have good recipes. And Van, his wife, they brought the barbecue raccoon recipe. And everyone thought it was fake. Everyone thought it wasn't a real true story until I had the recipe card. And boiled the raccoon, not once, not twice, three times.
Triple boil, baby.
Of course you got to triple boil it.
Also was very just, oh, I guess in-laws know that, hey, we're really in the sticks out here.
Serious
barbecuing raccoon.
Did he barbecuing.
Also, did he also bring the recipe for eggs erroneous?
No, I just got barbecue raccoon.
Raccoon-A-Roni.
Raccoon-A-Roni. And I don't know if I've ever had it. I don't remember. I was young.
Rare. It was maybe for a limited time only.
I don't know. I don't want to remember if I've had it. No, honestly.
Backed by popular demand.
I want to say this really quickly, though. On the side of the raccoon, I'm not real sure why I'm repulsed by it, because it's a very clean animal.
A clean. God made them
better than a possum.
It is definitely better than a
plant,
which I don't eat them either.
You believe it.
I don't know why.
I know why.
Please.
I've seen them dumpster dive.
Oh, well.
They are.
Well, that's a city coon.
They'll wash their hands, though, at the creek.
It don't matter whether the country. If they find
man,
a
they were washing their hands.
They get in there, they going in there.
Hey, man, they should have used them during COVID for, like, hand washing little models. The model animal.
They are a clean little animal, though, besides the dumpster diving.
The raccoon.
I know he lying, though, when he said they were sopping it up with white bread, cleaning it.
Come on, it looked like a dog licked it clean, man. I'm not joking. We would always say that. Look at this pan.
Clean.
Man, cleanliness.
Must be good barbecue sauce.
It's good, man. It's covering up a lot.
That's some brisket of the tree.
Got to be.
Brisket of the tree.
Now, I ain't saying I won't. I'm just saying I have it.
You would man up and just get down on it if you had it.
I mean,
as many gas stations as you eat at, you would love it.
Now, I might have had some. Maybe I have.
It happened.
I don't know.
But I tell you what, here's what we'll do. We can't settle the debate in Hayden, Alabama. But we may go to East Texas and try the barbecue wrap. I'm willing to try.
I mean, if I am willing to, I'll eat just about anything once.
All right. Then we could start hunting this winter and get ready for that, because you hunt them in the wintertime. You want a good fat raccoon.
And then you put them in the freezer.
Yeah.
We'll you don't want them fresh.
It's just
what
as good.
What matter does it make if you're going to boil them thrice times?
I don't know if you'll... Hey, you won't know if it's fresh or not. Fresh or frozen.
Put enough barbecue sauce on it. That's good.
Yeah. It's going to have to be some good sauce.
Tell me another story.
Well, man, I have one. This may be one of my greatest pranks I've ever done. And that was when I was in high school. So it was Mount Vernon High School. So we lived in Mount Pleasant. Town over is Mount Vernon. That's where I went to high school. Mom worked at school there. It's about the size of Hayden. Pretty small.
Okay.
And I was a good kid. Hardly ever in trouble. So senior year, got pretty arrogant, pretty confident. I was doing the announcements for the school. So second, third period every day, you know, I get to go late because I'm doing the announcements. You know, we do the Pledge of Allegiance, everything. What are we having for lunch? What's going on? Who are we playing this week? And about the end of senior year, it's probably April, maybe, I don't think we were into May. It was March, April. I got a little confident on, I'm going to pull some pranks. This is my senior prank. And first one I did was the never-ending moment of silence. So we do all the announcements, everything, and then we have, you know, pledge to the USA flag, and then we also have a Texas flag pledge. I know it's a little weird for other states, but we have our own Texas flag.
Yeah, we
love our state. Texans. But so after that, the pledges, we do, you know, and now for a time, moment of silence, about 10 seconds. And then we end it, you know, thank you. Everyone have a great day at school. And it was through a phone. I hang up the phone. So one day I told the principal, I said, hey, what if we never end it? I'm just going to set the phone here and I'll leave and whatever. And I don't know why, but he was in on it.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, it's cool. He's in on the prank. It was his first year, I think, being the principal, if I'm remembering correctly. So maybe he was just being a little cool. I don't know if he's still cool, but... So we never ended the moment of silence. And I remember walking through the high school and it was hilarious. I'm just walking through the halls, looking in the classrooms, and everyone's just...
Moment of silence.
They're looking at, there goes Ryan. What's he doing? Endless. It was so funny getting back to my third period class and everyone was just like, what happened? That is announced something. I was like, it just never ended. Why are y'all talking?
Yeah, y'all need to be praying.
And so, yeah.
Just being silent.
But the best part was I got to eighth period that day and I was a senior and there was this cool sophomore guy. He came in, he goes, dude, one of our O-line coach, he was in his social studies class, world history class during that period. He was like, dude, Coach Acosta, we didn't end the moment of silence for like 15, 20 minutes.
He was in it.
He was in on, he was committed. And he said, they were all like, hey, something happened with the speaker. I think we're done. Like, this is way too long.
Shut your mouth.
Exactly. He was like, it must be a special day.
Yeah.
So everyone up. Silent. It's a special day of remembrance.
Flags of that, man.
Matter of fact, we're going to do the pledge again. I pledge allegiance to the flag of Texas.
He was a true patriot.
Yeah.
We're not playing.
The Coons erroneous.
It was just a joke. Yeah. Man. It was just a joke. I thought that was Coons one of my best. Play. And that started two more pranks the next week. And that's when I didn't get cut from the announcements, but I got toned down.
Can we have a moment? I would like for y'all to recite the pledge to Texas flag.
You know, I haven't done it in a while.
Oh,
I'll have to practice that.
Now, you got me.
I pledge allegiance to the Texas.
Hold on.
State, under God, indivisible. And I think that's it. It's short and sweet.
I mean, it is.
But I feel like a bad Texan. Not.
I have to look it up on my phone.
It's one of those things that it's like on the spot. I'm like, man, I did it. And I remember I had to read it. Because I'd be so nervous.
I can't believe I just got him on the...
We probably won't get let back in because of that. We probably had to stay in Arkansas or something.
Yeah. We might have to cut that for y'all's safety.
Yeah, please.
Shane's got some land for sale he'd like to talk to y'all about.
It goes, right. Honor the Texas.
It was good while we got
one
to live there.
Under God, indivisible. Man.
I've never seen
it's very
kicked out of Texas while in Alabama. But hey. Sorry, good boy.
I'm just nervous on this podcast, man.
Yeah.
I just met them about 30 minutes ago.
Oh, man. Good deal.
But the next prank I did was, so Mount Vernon's kind of like Hayden, and we were driving here. I didn't see many Chick-fil-A's. What's close to Chick-fil-A?
30 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, so Mount Vernon was a little bit more rural, I guess. Closest Chick-fil-A was about an hour away. And then
everything's bigger in Texas.
Everything's further too. And we had a Chick-fil-A being built in the town over. So it was going to be about 30, 45 minutes away. And that week when I was doing the lunch, I just went off the cuff and I said, wow, look, Mr. Glover, our principal, they're going to be really nice this week. It was our state assessment week. So we had to take all these state exams and stuff. And I was like, it's going to be really nice. We're all taking our STAR test, and the Chick-fil-A in Greenville or Sulphur Springs has opened, and you're going to have a choice today for a chicken sandwich and chips or 8-count nugget and chips. So make sure you get to the lunchroom because we're getting Chick-fil-A today. And dude, I was office aide during our first lunch period, and I mean, just full blown sprints. Everyone's running there, and we had a new teacher that was like the lunch aide. He was watching over the lunchroom. He came running out to me. He goes, Ryan, I've seen kids I've never seen in my entire life in this lunchroom. And I felt bad because I didn't tell the lunch ladies about this, but they were so confused. And I think that was kind of the funniest part, was watching their confusion.
Let me tell you right now, my mom was professional lunch lady. She would have not taken that very kindly at all.
Business. This is serious. We had Mama Sue in Mount Pleasant.
Yeah.
The head of the all lunch ladies ever. Best food.
I think I packed my lunch the rest of the year.
I bet you did.
I made many a sprint to the lunchroom, man.
Mm-hmm.
I hated when I had late lunch.
And then
I wanted that early lunch.
You wanted early lunch?
11 o'clock. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't remember eating lunch past 11, though. I don't think I ever.
Didn't we start around 10:30?
Yeah.
Like a late breakfast.
Yeah,
it was good.
That same week, this is the last I got on the announcements. This one got me into a lot of trouble. But I don't know why I thought of this, but I came back. It was a Monday morning. I said, I'm going to start this week off good. I'm going to do a good little joke. And I got started the announcements. Beep. Good morning, Mount Vernon High School, where the tea is hot and the women are not.
Wow.
And that one. I don't know what was happening. I got approval from the office secretaries. I was like, hey, is this okay? Is this kind of funny? People going to think this is funny? And they were women. And they said, hey, that's kind of funny. If you do it at your own risk. Did it at my own risk. Never gotten as many high fives ever from the guys down the hallways that day. Never went on a date again.
Yeah.
The rest of my high school career. People from Mount Vernon. Obviously.
As evidenced by you married a girl from Birmingham.
Put him on that blacklist.
Auburn grad.
No.
You're right. That's all I got. But that was probably my greatest peak prank.
Man, so that was your comedy career started and ended.
Yeah, pretty quick.
Okay.
Trying hard. I did the announcements too at school. Yeah. I was teaching. I taught at the high school 3 years. So a kid got in trouble because he was inviting everybody for senior skip day at Six Flags. And they said, oh, that ain't going to work. You're out. Fitch, you're in. So I started doing the announcements, making fun of the food, having a good time, having fun with the kids. School got all rowdy for about, 5 minutes. They're loud and hollering, laughing. They come back, had to put the cool on it. Fitch, no more.
No more, Fitch. You get serious, them too worked up.
Runs in the family.
Finally yanked it from me. They yanked it. So.
You lost it too.
I lost it.
I got to keep doing it.
Yeah.
The principal just sat me down and told me to tone it back.
No, I got
just
fired
do what
from
was
it.
Scripted.
I never did the school announcements. Do you ever get to do the school announcements?
I think we did school announcements.
I don't remember doing any school announcements. I did do an office aid.
Yeah, I did office aid for the gym.
Office aid was best.
What I've been thinking about as you're talking through this is this brilliant idea. Know what's going on today. This is what's for lunch. We always wondered all day until we got to the lunchroom. Mm-hmm. What are we eating for lunch?
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knew.
We had the menu.
So this you know. And sometimes you get lied to.
Low communication.
Just once. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember being a senior, though, and being able to, and being the aide? Like,
it was great. I was off stage. I was two periods.
Life was absolutely.
And you complained about going.
What was I thinking?
Reconcile that.
Worryless.
I was careless. Do you remember who was the office lady at the high school?
Miss Smith.
I was the office aide, and I'm sitting there, and again, small town, so everybody has the office phone number. And my parents.
0397?
I think that was it. How did you pull that out?
I remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday.
I already
got that.
0397.
26 years later.
That was impressive.
Yee, man.
That I really am. Like, did we, what'd you have for breakfast this morning that really
pulled nothing
that?
Yet.
Oh, no. Okay. Maybe that's the key.
Sugar, still firing,
sugar levels down there. So I'm doing my thing, you know, of course, stapling some papers probably for Miss Smith.
Mm-hmm.
The phone rings. I pick it up. It's Hayden High School. It's my grandmother. Hey, Nanny, what's going on? Cows is out. Cows is out.
Wow, let's school out.
I said, no, wait a minute, Miss Smith, I've got to go. And she looked and said, what do you mean you got to go? I said, hey, the cows is out. She said, oh, wow. Well, hey, that's an emergency. You go right ahead. I said, nah, I'll be there in a minute. Hung up the phone, went and got in the vehicle. Come over here. Of course, every cow it got is out. Somebody left the gate open. Put the cows up, go back. Back to Office Aiden.
You're a hero.
I really won the day that day.
Wow.
However,
I called the man to come fix it.
Did you keep your shirt on?
I don't know if I did or not. Was I supposed to?
Derek Stroop.
Oh. He did get the cow. Well, see, he wasn't the office aide, though. He was late for school.
Yeah, because he was being a cowboy.
Trying to impress his girlfriend.
Impressing his girlfriend. He let him out on purpose.
Oh, that's right.
So he could round him up.
Yeah. Took his shirt off, got on the four-wheeler, and was out there rounding him up.
While the school bus went by.
Hero. Oh,
dude, man.
I'm getting the cow.
Man.
Yeah, I had my shirt on.
Mm.
Yeah, fortunately.
What did he say? He probably had bagel bite stains on.
It was eating good.
Well, what he was trying to communicate is he had always been a little fluffier.
A little fluffier.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Bad fences makes people late to everything.
You can't.
People that are always really late got them bad fences.
Yeah.
Got a cow.
I think that sounds like a sale point for you, friend.
Yeah. That is the truth,
I
man.
I don't know why you don't put
Preferred ranch equipment right there. Plug.
Plug. Shameless.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah,
that's, hey, I'd take
don't
that
be late.
You.
Have a good fence.
There you go. Good fences.
I want to redeem myself.
Uh-oh. He's thought about
it. It is honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance.
Oh, hold on.
Hey, let's go. Here we go.
Got it.
Yeah.
I just on the spot, I just couldn't think of it.
My brain's working.
But it's short and sweet. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas. One state, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. It mimics our normal pledge for the USA. There you go. But it's short and sweet. Why we have it?
Hey,
I don't know.
Hey,
I just had to redeem myself. You know, I can't.
That
I was just thinking.
Me look better.
How many people are going to text me? Fidget, you didn't, couldn't remember texting. No, man, I was on the
I'm
spot.
In trouble.
I promise you.
We're burnt.
When you left here and this video aired, you would have never heard.
Yeah, I'm going to have to move to Alabama.
The day it does air.
Just put on the phone. Spot. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, why couldn't I just.
That phone's going
like
off.
A robot.
It's okay.
And if that's wrong, so man, I just haven't said
then it
in
it's
a while.
Even worse.
Man, it's even worse.
That's awesome. That is too good.
But it is something we'll always remember.
Yes.
Yeah. You burn us right out the gate. Right out the gate.
Hey, don't tell us. Don't tell these Alabama boys we're slow over here now. We
better be on your toes out there. Man.
Let's do something real quick before we go to the next story. If you have not subscribed to the Hayden Alabama podcast on YouTube, we'd encourage you to do so. We'd love it, actually, if you're going to continue to watch it. If you're just going to swipe every time it sends you something, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But if you like the content, hit the subscribe button. Doesn't cost anything. It helps us out a lot. We appreciate it. Tell me another story.
Well, I kind of got a reputation for gunplay.
Ooh.
Early on in my life, college.
Easy now.
So,
like,
hey, you know, people get to talking about something, some bad crime or something going on. And I can kind of relate to some things with gunplay. I mean,
Billy the Kid.
They're talking about, man, the guy shot the guy last night. Do you know he shot him?
Hmm.
I said, man, I've shot a guy before. And it's no lie. Shot a man. He ain't never going to forget it.
No, I guarantee that.
Probably thinks about it every other day at least, if not every day. And I've been shot before. Got popped.
Wild.
Got popped. Gangsta style, man. Popped.
Yeah.
So I'm never going to forget it either, man. Never going to forget it. So I'm both sides of the line been one that done the shooting, one that had the shooting done to him. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line of the story is, 22 accidentally went off and shot myself in the foot in college. Mm. You just don't tell the whole story. But you know, you shot a guy, and you've been shot. There you go.
That's the only thing is the common denominator is you're the guy.
I'm the guy.
Both for both sides.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Okay.
I'm waiting on the story.
There it is.
You shooting a guy.
Yeah, shot him.
But you've already cleared that.
In the foot.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. In the foot. Little accident.
You break any bones?
No, it went right in the top middle of the foot.
And there's a lot of little bones.
Stayed in my foot.
Isn't that crazy?
Wrapped up in my tendon. So they went in eventually after a long afternoon at the hospital. Pulled it out through the top. And I hobbled around about 6 weeks. So, yeah, there that is. No sympathy from the girls when you shoot yourself in the foot. Mm. If somebody else would have shot me, I probably got a little more.
Absolutely.
More sympathy out of the deal.
That's all saying, right? You shoot yourself in the foot.
I was with one of my good varmint hunting, deer hunting buddies at the time. We got in trouble from high school on. We had gun incidents. And so that time I shot myself. And then one time we were in a Jeep and he was wallering around in the seat over there getting his coveralls on. It was cold. We were going varmint hunt, shining the light. He had him a .22-250 right there beside him. Mm. And he wallered somehow that trigger. Boom! I'm talking loud. Bust your eardrums. We were sitting on an old red dirt road out on the guy's farm. That dirt came up just clouded. Dust. It was at nighttime, dark, and it was all in the headlights and stuff. We couldn't see nothing smoke. I thought he done blew my engine up, and it went down, hit my transfer case, and just shattered. The bullet did, and then hit the ground and just tore up the ground, and didn't hurt nothing on the car. It burned a hole in the floor. And old Chris, he said, "Did I do that?"
Yeah, somebody did.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not, but just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services, or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
There was one night we had gone to Dallas. I think we either went to the Texas High School Football State Championships.
Of course.
So we were coming back of course, big football. We
late.
It. And, we were either coming back from that or we were coming back. We went to the Cotton Bowl 1 year. So it was late games. Either way, we're coming from the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, AT&T. And I remember we said, "What? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Doesn't
work well out here in Alabama, honestly.
Go ahead.
We aren't the boys. We didn't make the playoffs. But we stopped in Whataburger on the way back. It's probably 1 a.m. Yeah, I'm a bad Texan, man. I'm going to get kicked out of the state. I have to move to Alabama with y'all. But we stopped at Whataburger, and I remember Dad was like, "All right, you stay in the truck, watch the stuff." Because, you know, you pull up to a Whataburger, you park in the front, they all got the glass windows. You can see everyone's eating in there. And it was pretty packed for 1 a.m., late night. Yeah. And everyone looked a little bit crazy.
I think the club had let out or something.
And
the rodeo action.
Yeah, it could have been that. But Dad said, "Ryan, stay in the car. I want you to watch everything. Keep the door locked. I'm going to go order our food."
Yeah, stay with the pistols.
Well, he walks in there, and I'm watching him. He orders. He gets the cups, goes over, gets his drink, walks off, comes back, pours the drinks out, goes to the bathroom, comes back, fills up the drinks, bathroom. Like, he's doing all this weird stuff, and he's walking like this.
Bug-eyed.
Just look, I'm like what
I
is going on?
I just 8 seconds. Mm. So then I walked in, owning that thing.
Okay.
You're making your presence
known. 1 o'clock in the morning.
He was acting weird, just like filling up the cup, dumping it out, going back to the counter, to the bathroom, filling up the cup.
That's key.
Dumping it out. Just weird. And I'm just sitting there like, what are you doing? And he finally gets back to the truck and he tells me why he was doing all that.
Crazy folks are scared of other crazy folks. Hey, I was looking over at them gangsters and they were like, "Don't look at me. Scared him." I got my Whataburger. We hit the road.
So no altercations.
He was pulling a Yacht Yacht.
Hey, man, I was.
That's right out of Yacht Yacht's book.
Mm-hmm. I was
Yacht Yacht told us, yeah, he was in there. He wants to make friends. Like, if you, yeah. you get one that's a little disturbed, you're going to be there close to him. Like, you ain't going to be on his bad side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, up in his zone, up in the 3-foot zone.
Yeah. You want to make sure that things go awry.
Cray, cray.
His guy was in there screaming thunder and lightning from the top of his lungs in the line.
I was scared, though. A rough crowd that night.
Yeah, I mean, I was so confused. I thought that's not my father.
Like a, doesn't seem like a Whataburger crowd, though.
There was a club across the parking lot.
We're still in Dallas, kind of DFW Metroplex, on the outskirts of it.
Not Dallas proper.
We're from the country.
It's very different.
Let's get in the car and get out of here.
Yeah. You want to hear our favorite Whataburger story?
Let's hear this one.
I'm hungry now for sure.
Takes me back, friend.
We go on a 6-day hunt in Texas, deer hunt, bow hunting. 10,000-acre ranch, no high fence.
And this is Alabama boys go to Texas.
Central Texas?
First time.
Drive.
Probably 15 hours.
First time I'd ever been to Texas.
Yeah, that's a drive.
Yeah. We finish the hunt. We're on the way home. Lunchtime comes. Whataburger seems appropriate. We pull into Whataburger. I have killed an 8-point. Shane didn't shoot. Steve had missed that last afternoon. When we went and picked him up from his stand.
Visibly
shaken. And he tells us how big this deer is, how big. He'd never seen anything like it. It was a Tyrannosaurus Rex whitetail that he shot at and missed. That has all kind of subsided in some miles. We go into Whataburger. We're sitting there, get our food. Steve's just kind of, he's still a little down about it. In the Whataburgers out there, humongous mounts on the wall.
Yeah.
I'm talking huge deer, 250, 300-inch deer. He's sitting there eating a fry, looking at those deer. Shane and I are kind of just watching him.
I mean, he's enthralled.
He's silent. Yeah. He ain't said a word. That right there, that's the size of mine. It was a 300-inch non-typical whitetail if I've ever seen.
That thing had been fed for years.
Laughed him to scorn in the middle of the water. He is so mad. I don't think he finished eating.
He didn't.
Threw away his food, sat over there, soiled up like he, you know.
Y'all don't know what I saw. Y'all don't know.
You weren't there.
I said, I wasn't there, but I'll tell you what you didn't see.
Thing's rare.
Thing's magnified.
Like a white buffalo. We ain't gonna see one.
Oh, it was so funny. And to this day.
If he came over here right now.
Right now.
Stick to the guns.
He would, his story's not changing, and he would get to the point to where he would throw hands if we pushed him very much.
Mossy horns.
Woo, man. I really wish I could have seen it.
Woo. I do too. We laughed. And so again, on the way back home, we're just dreaming of the big old Texas bucks. And Steven.
Yeah.
Wayne went Texas.
He truly believes everything's bigger in Texas.
Yeah.
At least he believes it.
Well, I'd love to see one. There is no doubt about that. Because those are hanging on them walls right there.
I didn't have that good luck. Me and Chris went. I saw the lady a tombstone. So we went to go set the stone in their town outside of Austin. She's going to let us hunt on her property.
Oh.
What a win-win.
Yeah.
So we just stay late, drive home late. We don't care. We're getting to go deer hunt outside of Austin. We were just dreaming of big old bucks. And there were a lot of deer. So he was somewhere. I was somewhere on the side of a hill. And it's getting late. A spike walks out. So I'm like, I'm taking some meat home with me. And say, what a good day. I kill the spike. And it gets dark. Here comes Chris. What's going on? What do you get? I just killed a spike. I got some meat over here. I got a cooler. I got some 55-gallon trash bags. We're going to gut it, put it in the trash bags, put it in the cooler, take it home, tag it, all that. I said, get in the truck. Give me one of them 55-gallon trash bags. He said, all you need is a bread sack for that little old deer.
Bread sack deer.
Put it in a bread sack. And so did me.
Did it fit the bread sack?
Chris. Pretty close. One of them very low pounds when you pick it up at the old meat market.
Texas deer ain't known for its meat.
Some of them aren't that big. I was surprised.
Hey, but
it looked big there when I was ready to shoot it.
Those 12-pack bun bags are pretty big.
This is just a regular standard.
Texas toast size.
Standard. Maybe Texas toast size bag.
That's what it
may
be. Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to give you that.
Yeah, that was my drive home of shame.
Speaking
of my little deer.
Speaking of tombstone tales, when he was selling memorials and monuments, tombstones, everything. I'd go over, hang out at the shop with them and stuff. And there's one day this old lady came in. She was known in our town. We knew who she was, went to church with her. And she was, I don't even know who she was buying tombstone for. But he had a monitor on his side where he could see all the renderings and what he drew up. And then you could see this. He had it mimicked on the other side. So like you could see exactly what he's pulling up for him. But she didn't believe that she was seeing the same thing Dad was seeing. So she had to come around the desk. And now when she came around the desk, I'm sitting on a couch next to the desk. And it just so happened where I'm sitting and where she started to lean over the desk, I'm in the line of fire. And she let one loose. She passed gas right just
right there. She's boom. All up on me and we're on the computer looking and drawing and I heard it.
And I'm sitting
we
over
all
there,
ignored it.
And she it just let out and she looks back at me. She's just looks back. And I'm just over there like this.
Stone face.
Just holding my breath as long as I could.
Stone
and
face.
Dad hits this number. After she looks, he does looks at me and I'm just looking at him. And I'll just never get over it. She'd end up buying stone. Tombstone.
Of course she did.
But it reminds me of Mr. Rob. And I was thinking about it this week. I was like, you know, she decided she's going to come around the desk and just, you know, just let one rip. I was committed to the family business. I wanted a good Christmas. So,
wait a minute. She
never acknowledged. Never acknowledged.
Ignored it.
Like it never happened.
She just cracked one off in your face.
In my face. Just
rolled it.
Yeah.
Literally.
Was she looking back for affirmation?
Like, I think she looked back to see if I knew of it, noticed. Because she just hit this up. She was just like,
sound it off. Like
I thought
heard,
that sale was over
it.
With. Yeah. I thought it was
heard
all going
it,
south.
Heard
right
it.
There.
But she made the sale.
Made it. Yeah. Yeah,
I took think one you could for the team. Charge 20%. She's still buying that.
Took one for the team.
Man, right there.
Family business.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, she remembers that to this day.
We hungry.
Probably so.
She remembers.
Little Buster.
Little you Buster. Pop off one and somebody's face.
Yeah. Then he even acknowledged. I'm assuming she left there thinking.
You don't forget.
It didn't make any sound. It must have not stopped.
Yeah. It didn't make any sound?
That's what she probably thinks.
Okay. She's a little hard of hearing.
Probably so.
I think she knew, but I acted like nothing happened. I remember I could see her peripheral looking back at me, and I was just doing this.
That's amazing.
Like I couldn't look at her.
She leftover rag.
I was probably
Cunzeroni is what it was.
Could have been. Some good old homemade biscuits that morning or something.
I don't know, man.
Man took it for the team.
Did she lean?
My little helper.
A little bit.
I mean, she was leaned over.
Oh,
she
that's the problem.
Up
the lean had already happened naturally.
Yes. It just some things got moving.
Lining me out on how to get things done.
Well, that's what you do with a baby. You know, you get them. Yeah. If they have, you line them legs up just right.
Yeah.
Squeeze them up. And
really?
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to let some stuff fly.
Mm. I have never heard of that. And I
they do like little exercises to help gas them.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. You get them lined
that
up right.
Would have been handy back in the day.
Do you know that?
No, it wouldn't have been handy.
I don't know where I learned that.
The two oldest dudes didn't have a clue. These young bucks over here.
I had to learn all the tricks of the trade.
Wow, they got new classes now that
I never heard of. That's it. They may follow.
We know more scientific.
We had the old classes.
Maybe
Instagram, our algorithm's probably a lot different.
Nowadays, how to be a father comes
on
up.
YouTube.
On the YouTube.
How to be a daddy.
The.
No more of that.
Now,
do as I say, not as I do.
Here's what I got to know. I don't know what else is on your list, but my interest is absolutely peaked in the realm of loss, which we're going to be
careful
cautious
here.
And careful here.
Mm-hmm.
But of all the people that you worked with selling memorials, was there one besides this one that just sticks out about, because people make all kind of decisions and people have all kind of wishes. Is there any one that just really rises to the top? Give me the most outlandish request for a memorial that you've ever had, if you can do that.
I put Elvis on a headstone before.
There it is.
And for their wedding date, it had their wedding date in the middle and said, "Love me tender" underneath it. And he was like, Elvis, it looked like all sparkles. I drew him from just looking at a bunch of pictures, and he was Elvis with the mic. And when she come look at the stone, I said, "Elvis, Aloha 72. That's that costume." She said, "Oh, I just love that. I just love that concert.
She was tickled.
Oh, Oh, man, yeah. So Elvis was popular. I even had an Elvis cutout of granite that was a silhouette of Elvis just...
Oh.
And I had it sitting up against my building, and people just loved it. And I said, hey, I'll get you Michael Jackson if you want it.
Whatever not y'all want, your stone.
Get what you want. Tiptoes. Standing on his tiptoes.
The hell tip.
Yeah. He had a gift with people, too, when they'd come in
the joy of the Lord, man. Just always sharing the joy of the Lord in your heart, even at a hard time. I mean, the worst time of their life, you're ever going to meet somebody, make one of the best friends in your life. And help them through. The gift was help them through the horrible times.
Yeah,
agree.
And I don't know if it's happy. You gotta get serious sometimes too, but a little lighter hearted.
Mm-hmm.
My motto for newspaper ads was "We will rock you." We had T-shirts,
it's true,
tie dye, puffy letters that said "I got stoned at Fitch Memorials." You know, keep it light.
I see how you got
keep
there.
It light. Yeah. Phone go off. Ringtone was another one bites the dust.
Are you serious?
Hey, that just meant cha-ching.
I'll tell you this.
Cha-ching.
We got a new band director at my high school when I was in
high
school.
This is a good story right here. This is how it goes.
And the first conversation I had with him, he was like, "You're John Fitch's boy." And I was like, "Yes, sir." And he goes, "You know, we bought a tombstone for his mom or dad. And we had just come from the funeral home. And we went in to buy a tombstone for his parent.
Whole family.
And whole family walks in. My dad stands up behind his desk, looks at him. He's like, and your dad stood up and he said, what's going on? Someone die? I'm sitting there. Hey, I'm like a junior, senior in high school.
I didn't
think
nothing about it.
I'm like, oh, he's venting to me. Because I'm like, why would he say that? Of course.
We did all kinds of services too.
You're coming in to buy either someone dying.
Someone planning on it.
Or someone's planning to die.
Kind of come out wrong. Or what's up? What y'all need? What y'all need?
But he ended that story and he said, you know, we needed that because he brought exactly what he said. He brought a lot of lighthearted joy in the midst of a lot of hard.
We made good friends.
But he was very thankful for it. But I just always thought, why would you say that?
Why? Came out wrong, man. There you go.
You got something else here? Because I want to stay in this vein, but
I only have one comment.
Pass some heartbreaks.
In case somebody is not happy with Mr. Fitch right now, I just want to bring something to everyone's attention. When you're in an environment like that day in and day out,
years and years, yes,
I think you have to evolve to a place where you can continue to go to work. And I think humor, not disrespect, but humor can be
it's better.
Yeah.
Better than the outlet that the local tombstone guy here back in the day did. He used beverage as his outlet. And a friend of mine had permission to go on the property where he used to work, the tombstone. Yeah, and they did it all by hand by then. Yeah. They would engrave the tombstones by hand. So it was really neat to go to this guy's shop. It was all grown up in Privet Hedge, and we were walking around, and I got to noticing just mounds of partially done tombstones.
It happens.
Laying everywhere.
Yep. Messed up.
And I would look, and it would be they'd fleeked out a little bit too much, or, you know, the letter. And I found one that was about this tall, about this wide. It was obviously a small child's tombstone. And I looked, I said, man, this is in perfect condition. There's nothing wrong with this tombstone. And I'm looking, and it says the baby's name and it gives the date. And it said at the very bottom, it had a little sheep, a little lamb, and it said safe in the arms of, and I looked and it said Jeus.
Who's?
He got last two letters.
Had a long night. Long night.
And he pitched.
Probably had little kids.
Could you imagine?
Keep you up. Little babies keep you up.
So,
I spelt one wrong. A really nice headstone one time, mahogany, beautiful. The lady said, well, if you just fix his name and spell it right, then take it to the cemetery, I'll see you Friday. I like, well, I'm going to fix his name with another tombstone just like it. Brand new star all over, front and back. His name was Bud. B-U-D. And I spelt it B-U-D-D. I don't know why. I don't know why. No sleep. This bud's for you? I don't know. I don't know what it was.
Bud's not for you.
Yes.
Before we move on to a septic tank story, I would like to talk to our audio listeners. If you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or another podcast on the platform, I want to encourage you to leave us a review. You can be honest. 1 star, 5 stars. And if you're feeling froggy, a little written review on Apple goes a long way. It may not seem significant to you, but it really helps us when they're sending out the podcast and highlighting them. So if you've got a second, we'd appreciate it. On to a septic tank story.
Well, septic tanks have been a big part of my life living in the country. We're from East Texas, out in the country. We don't have all those plumb lines like in the city. So everybody's got a field line, drains out in a pasture or something. And whew, my dad, we call him Argel. He wrote his name R.J. Fitch, and so we just started calling him Argel, kind of as joking around. We were in high school. All my friends call him Argel. I eventually quit calling him Daddy. Just call him Argel.
Hmm.
And a love name. And Argel was something about that septic tank, man. It just, I mean, he would make sure that thing was flowing and draining as good as it could be. And the first time my wife ever came over to our house, she was out riding around and wanted to find out where I lived at before we started dating, maybe after the first date.
Mm-hmm.
I was standing out there in the septic tank field line area with my dad, and we were cleaning out the line to make sure it was draining right. And then shortly after we got married, I lived about 100 yards from them across the pasture. We had this line that came out from my dad's septic tank field line out in the pasture. Come home one day, it's hot, about 5 o'clock, summertime. He's out there with water hoses. He's got a clean out at the end of that septic line, the drain field line, and he's running water hoses up in there. He said, that water washing machine's not working. Your mama's in there trying to wash. You got a water hose. I need another water hose. He done ran his all the way up in there. So I went and got my water hose, and we hooked it up, and I'm thinking, bad idea. Don't want it back. You can have it.
Mm-hmm.
He ran it up in there, and all of a sudden, whoosh, you hear that water coming out. And he go tell your mama. He call her Joyce, a Joyce. He said, go tell her, Joyce, turn that washing machine on. So I went and hollered at, turn it on, turn it on. And you could tell that water was flowing right out. Everything was good. He was pulling that water hose out. It was hot. He was solid sweat, wringing wet, dripping sweat. He got to the end of that water hose, and he pulled it out, and that water's just shooting out just pretty as it can be. And he took him a drink. Fresh out of a 50-yard septic line.
Disgusting.
I said, Argel, you're going to die from that salmonella. You can't do that. He said, that water's going out. It ain't going in. Get you some. I said, I ain't getting me none of that. And you can keep the water hose. I don't want it back. The man could have been on Fear Factor.
Is this truth?
It's the truth. Argel's stories are true. No fiction involved.
No need.
I would go to singings and storytellings between groups getting on stage and stuff and tell stories, and he'd be there and they'd say, Bobby, is them stories that boy tell about you true? He said, if that boy told it, it's probably true.
Mm.
I hate to say it. Argel. He was a character. He would look at words and he would think totally different definition of what you was thinking of the word. Play on words and stuff all the time. He was on a different track most of the time.
Yeah, he is.
So he was, my mom tells us, he was waiting on the doctor. The doctor's office visit was like 11 o'clock one Thursday. Thursday, he would go meet his buddies down at the Golden Corral and eat the big old buffet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it went on and on, and it got to be 12:30. He was going to miss them at lunch. He was just going in for some tests by 1 o'clock. The nurse comes back, clipboard. Mr. Fitch, they go walking down the aisle, and she turned back and she said, Mr. Fitch, I am so sorry about your weight. He said, this ain't about my weight. I'm hungry. I've always been fat. I'm ready to see this doctor. And my mama got on to him. Bob, quit talking like that. She don't mean your weight. She's talking about how long you had to wait to go to the doctor. She's not talking about how fat you are. Oh, I'm so sorry. And he could apologize, man, and just cry, come out.
Oh.
I'm so sorry. I'm so genuine. Sorry. Genuine. I'm just hungry. Genuine. A clown if there ever was one.
Saying about my weight.
Well, you mentioned storytelling a second ago, and we wanted to talk about that before we moved on. We do live storytellings. So Shane and I have been doing them Sometimes we include Robin, depending on the situation. And then the newest thing is the County Road Show. I said that correctly, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. You got it.
Which includes Trent Ellis. And we love doing those. It's a lot of fun. We, you know, we've done churches up to this point, no secular venues at this time. And basically what we do is we go in, we do a storytelling for 45 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever the church needs. And then we will, Robin or I want to preach and 15, 20 minute message.
Yeah, and we don't let Trent preach.
No, no, not yet.
We're
going to get there. Maybe one day. I think that, I mean, I would listen.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, I mean, I'm no serious. 100% would listen to that.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in that, for your church, men's group, we've done men's groups. We've done family events. Family's my favorite because I like to see the full spectrum of people enjoying the stories.
That'd be so fun.
Email admin, A-D-M-I-N, at HaydenAlabamaPodcast.com. Just send us an email. We'll reach out to you, give us some contact information, how to get in touch with you. We'll see what we can do. What else we got? You've got an announcement I don't know that you're ready for. I'm going to put you on the spot, kind of like the Texas National Anthem.
Ooh.
What am I announcing? Ooh. Were you going to tell them about the condo?
Oh, yeah, we can tell them about the condo, I guess. So we got a condo in Gulf Shores, Alabama.
You got a condo.
Oh.
And if you'd like to stay in it, we'd love to have you stay in it. So Airbnb, and I will get Philip to post a link maybe on the YouTube.
Nice.
Good little plug there.
Hey, it's a nice place.
Gulf Shores, Alabama. Did you say that?
To heal and relax.
I'm not sure.
Two-bedroom, two-bath.
Okay.
So you
fun stuff.
Get in there and rest away.
And this is a brand new thing. Just got fully renovated, new furniture, new. Nicole did the whole, she was designer lady.
Designer air. She did good.
Fun. So that's the side. Open for business. I'll put a link to the Airbnb if y'all are looking for a place to go in Gulf Shores.
Yep. I'm glad I know you.
Why you think glad we're still friends, man?
Handy. There you go.
Scripture time. Y'all ready for some of that?
Yes.
Let's do it.
We're going to go to the book of Judges. A lot of times this comes from a text that I've been preaching recently. We're shifting gears this time. This is just from my personal Bible study, my personal reading every day. And I went back to the Old Testament. I started in Judges, and I've made it to Samson. Now, as a young boy, I loved the character, the man of Samson, because he was strong and all those things. He's a man's man.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about when Samson...
Oh, he's still a man's man.
He's man's man. All right. But he didn't do necessarily too well. So he had a woman early on. That didn't work out. He got real mad about that. He has since found another woman by the name of Delilah. That's where we are. He has fallen head over heels in love for her, or with her. And you'll see that here in just a second. In Judges chapter 16, starting at verse 4, a little bit of a lengthy passage, but it'll all come together. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah who lived in the valley of Sorek. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "Entice Samson to tell you what makes him so strong and how he can be overpowered and tied up securely. Then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." I'm going to stop there for just a second. So Samson had been wrecking the Philistines through the power that God had given him. They were mad. They couldn't figure out how to defeat him. They find out Delilah, he's pretty sweet on her. So they come to her with 1,100 pieces of silver offer if you can just find out his secret and turn him over to us. So that's where we are. And that's the first kind of thought there is most people kind of enticed by the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Delilah's no different. So I don't think we should be surprised today if maybe we get somebody selling us out for something like that. But anyway. Verse 6, "So Delilah said to Samson, 'Please tell me what makes you so strong and what it would take to tie you up securely.'" And I'm not going to read the next pieces. I'm going to summarize them. He works through several different things where he says, "Oh, if you'll just do this, I'll be at your mercy and you can take me over." So he's lying. He basically lies to Delilah for whatever reason, several times in a row, and they come in to get him. He breaks loose and he's gone again. Because he didn't tell exactly what truly where his strength truly lied. So there's a little bit of humanity in there, even though he's spoken of very highly. Verse 15, "Then Delilah pouted How can you tell me I love you when you don't share your secrets with me? You've made fun of me 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong. She tormented him with her nagging day after day until he was sick to death of it. Persistence. There's a lesson on persistence right there. But anyway, so he is weak. She's finally broke him down. Delilah realized he finally told her the truth, so she sent for the Philistine rulers. Remember that $1,100 she's still trying to get. Come back one more time, she said, for he has finally told me his secret. So the Philistine rulers returned with the money in their hands. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap, and then she called in a man to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. In this way, she began to bring him down, and his strength left him. So he truly revealed the secret that time. She shaved off all his hair, which was where his strength lied from God. Then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. When he woke up, he thought, I will do as before and shake myself free. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. So that's where I want to bring in our application. God had strengthened Samson. And he had used that strength. It had benefited him many times. He had just wrecked the Philistine. He had escaped this death trap 3 different times. And like we all do, we just get to thinking we're just going to keep doing as we're doing. Whether we realize it's our strength or God's strength, we're just going to get up. We're going to be fine the next day. But he had told the secret, and the Spirit of the Lord had left him. So therefore, the strength that he really had that was from the Lord was now gone. And Shane, we were talking about this beforehand, brought up a great point about this, is oftentimes we don't realize the Lord's strength, not talking about salvation, just his favor, his strength in our lives. We don't realize it's gone until we go to take action and need it. And then we're in a pickle. Mm-hmm. That's a bad time to realize that we done got sideways of the Lord and lost his strength. And they gouged his eyes out, made a spectacle of him, put him in prison because he didn't have his strength. And we're not going to get into the next part of the story. But what I think all of us could learn from this is he did not have to be in this situation. Samson was not supposed to be with this lady. He realized that she wasn't good for him. He even knew that she was trying to sell him out, but continued to stay with her. And for us today, you may not have a Delilah, but you may have a sin that you continue to stay with. You continue to keep committing when you know you should take a left hand or a right hand and get away from it. Mm-hmm. But we keep entertaining it. And it finally come to bear, and he lost.
Yeah, I think you look at that from a state of repentance. I mean, he never turned away from that sin that he continually... And how often in our lives do we find ourselves continually going back to the same sin, the same sin? And that's what Samson knew. He knew Delilah was bad for him. Mm-hmm. Knew he was. She was trying to sell him out. Because he'd tell her, and then he'd go tell... Or she'd go tell that same secret to the Philistines. Mm-hmm. Like all the signs were saying, red flag.
Danger.
Red flag. Red flag.
They just thought he's just going to keep doing what he'd been doing.
It's like, I'll be all right. And that's what he said, right? I'm going to do just like I have before.
Yeah.
Is in the story of Rahab where they put the scarlet thread in the window. I heard once that it's kind of like, you know, you put your scarlet thread out and it's like, oh, how far can I go to the end of that thread? You know, with our sin, like how much can I get away with? And he got to the end of it. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, and then you end up like Samson. You know, you're at the end of it.
So today, the application is this for all of us, every single person who's a believer trying to follow the Lord. If you have a Delilah in your life, not literally but figuratively, if you have a sin that you've been tolerating, you haven't been turning away from. Because you keep getting up and
beating it. Yeah.
Just know, not from a salvation. Again, this is not about salvation. This is Old Testament. But just know that the Lord left him when this happened, and his strength, his favor, all that left for him, and he was in a bind. So don't get to that point.
Yeah.
Go ahead now while you still have the favor, while you're still in the strength. Turn away from it so that you don't end up in this situation and realize that you ain't got it no more.
Yeah.
And end up in a bind
Yeah, the New Testament application there is when we are tempted, we have a way of escape, and that is through Jesus Christ.
He says you always make a way.
Yeah,
you just got to see.
He's given you everything you need in Christ.
But yeah, this is Old Testament. We're trying to be careful here and not mix things up. Again, it's not a salvation issue. And if you're going, well, I've tried to get away from Delilah a bunch of times, and I'm just not strong enough to do it. Okay. Now we have a whole other application. Mm-hmm. Cry out to the Lord to give you the strength that you need to get away from that situation. And I believe those are the prayers that God hears and answers.
Yeah.
When you're seeking to follow Him and you're seeking to get closer, I think He's right there to hear that and help that. But it's an awesome story. I love the humanity of Samson, man. He's just an old broken dude just like we are trying to make it through this life. But
yeah, good stuff.
And the ending is pretty. If you haven't read the story of Samson, read on. That ending has quite a bang to it.
Brings the house down.
He brings the house down, baby. Well, you guys have been a blessing to us today.
We sure enjoyed the trip.
Enjoyed your stories and your fellowship.
Thank you for having us.
The awkwardness that you helped create. I'm telling you.
One more time. Do we need to?
Here we go. It's for all my Texans out there. Sorry, I messed up. I repent. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, indivisible. I believe that's it. I think I messed up the first time.
Okay.
All right.
We feel good about it?
I feel good. Time. I haven't done that in years, if I'm being honest.
We believe it.
Yeah. I believe it, too.
I believe you may have had a moment where the strength of the Lord left you.
Just for a minute.
Could have.
And then there
is. The strength of the Lord is now it's with the Texans.
And it came back.
God bless Texas. No,
that's funny.
We've enjoyed it.
Thank y'all.
We appreciate it. But that's going to do it here today at the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Cornbread.
And I'm Ryan.
We'll see you guys next week.